Good morning, Abundant Life. Appreciate you being here and not robbing God of the hour we lost. It should not have been his loss, and so I believe there's a special blessing to you for being here without an hour's sleep that we missed. And for those of you who did sleep in and are watching by Facebook stream right now, blessings to you wherever you are. We miss you, but we're saving your seat for you. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about the favor of God and the one verse of Scripture in Amos chapter 9 and verse 13. The Message translation reads like this. Yes, it won't be long now. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will happen at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings everywhere. It's the speed of God's favor being accelerated at a faster pace. And we all know what it is to be blessed by God. But the Bible speaks of the blessing of the Lord that catches up to us and then overtakes us. And I've spoken about the fast and the furious favor of God. Today I want to talk a little bit more about that, and I want to talk about faith and favor. And my big point today being this: sometimes the favor of God is so fast and furious on our lives that the blessing of God goes above and beyond our level of faith. Sometimes he shows up and pours a blessing out into our life when we did not believe for it, didn't ask for it, didn't pray for it, could never have imagined it, but the goodness of God is being increased on our lives, and it's his favor. And I want to talk to you about God doing that kind of more than enough blessing toward you. Now, there are times when God honors our faith. In fact, anytime we exercise faith, we get God's attention. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 20, it says this: Just then a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind Jesus, and she touched the fringe of his robe. For she thought, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was healed at that moment. I want to talk this morning about more than you expect. But now, in this verse of Scripture, we see the principle that's always true. God responds to your faith. Sometimes you have a need in your life. You build up your own faith by hearing God's word, and God will come and meet your need based on your faith. He said to this woman, your faith has made you well. And she was healed at that moment. Now, on another occasion, there were two blind men standing by the road. They heard a crowd and a lot of noise, and somebody told them, Jesus is passing this way. That's why there's a noisy crowd. They follow him everywhere he goes. So these two blind men cried out, Son of David, have mercy on us. And they got Jesus' attention. So he stopped and asked these two blind men a question. He asked them, Do you believe I can do this? And they both said, Yes, Lord. And then the Bible says that Jesus responded like this, According to your faith, so be it unto you. According to your faith. Many times, Jesus meets our needs because we have the faith to ask and believe him to do it. Over and over in Scripture, he will say, Great is your faith. So be it according to your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. And then yet on another occasion, this is in the 15th chapter of Matthew, a Gentile woman, now she was not Jewish, She was an outsider to the Jewish faith, and Jesus, being a Jew, came for the Jew first. But at that point, she was a Gentile and did not qualify for any favor at all from the Lord. And she approached Jesus pleading and begging, and she said to him, "Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." And at first, Jesus did not even give her a reply. Not even a word. The Bible says, not even a word. Have you ever begged and pleaded for God to do something for you, and there was a period of time after your request and after your pleading where Jesus spoke not even a word in response to you and the need you were presenting to him? Even his disciples said to him, "Tell her to go away. She is bothering us with her begging." The Bible says, but she worshiped him and kept on pleading. And in Matthew 15 and verse 28, Jesus finally said to her, "Dear woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted," and her daughter was instantly healed. Here again, this is three examples right here where Jesus responded to a person because of their faith. He said, "Your faith has healed you. According to your faith, let it be so unto you." And then he said to her, "Your faith is great." And he answered her prayer. That word "great" there in Scripture, Jesus said, "Your faith is great." In the Greek, it's the word megas. And it literally means mega. Jesus was saying, "Great is your faith." He was saying, "You've got mega faith. You have strong faith. You have mighty faith. You have large faith. You have loud faith." And sometimes God meets our need because of our own faith. I'm a believer in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We are saved by faith. And all of us are given the measure of faith that's more than enough to begin a spiritual journey. And then we add to our faith over a period of our lifetime. Faith is important, and we need to realize that when we exercise the faith we have, God responds and meets our needs. But then Jesus said a lot of things about faith. He said to one group of people, "Oh, ye of little faith." So our faith is not always great or mega or strong or mighty or large or loud. Sometimes you can be a disciple and have little faith. By the way, he asked that question to his own disciples. "Where is your faith, O ye of little faith?" And then the disciples got another glimpse of revelation, and they said, "Lord, increase our faith." And then from one extreme to the other, Jesus would sometimes discern there is not much faith working here, and he'd say, "Oh, ye of little faith," all the way to the other extreme. And on a few occasions, he would say to somebody who had faith, "I've never seen such great faith like you have." And on one occasion, a man came to Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and then into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." And Jesus looked at his own disciples and said, "You faithless and perverse generation." The Greek defines that word "faithless" as Jesus was saying, "You unbelieving infidels." Now he was talking to his disciples, and he said, "You unbelieving infidels," to those who followed him. Now listen, they were his disciples, but they were still in training. We are his disciples, but we are still in training. But for Jesus to say to his own closest followers, you faithless group of people. So he can spot where faith is and he can see where faith is not, but he always gives us the opportunity to grow greater in our faith, and he responds to our faith. Many times he will say, great is your faith. Now in Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 and 20, following up on that conversation where the son, where the father said, my son is tormented. Your disciples could not cure him, so I brought him to you. And the Bible says, Matthew 17, 19, afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible. Now, those are haunting words for me to hear, for you to hear, for any of God's children to hear when he says to us, you don't have enough faith. But there is good news. Sometimes God will meet your needs not because of your faith, but because of someone else's faith. In the second chapter of Mark, Jesus was preaching in somebody's house. And the house was filled with people. The Bible says the house was so packed with people that you couldn't even get in the door because of the crowd of people that was packed in there. And he was teaching and preaching. And while he was preaching, four men arrived at the house with a paralyzed man they had brought on a cot. And they had brought him to the house. They knew Jesus was in the house. And they wanted Jesus to heal this paralyzed man, but when they saw how packed the house was and there was no chance they could even get through the front door, these four men somehow climbed on top of the roof and started tearing shingles off, and they lowered the paralyzed man down right in front of where Jesus was teaching inside the house. They lowered him down on a mat or on a cot. And in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, it says this, seeing their faith. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, listen to this, we're getting deeper right here. Jesus said to the paralyzed man, not when he saw the paralyzed man's faith, but when he saw their faith. My child, your sins are forgiven. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Well, now, let's absorb that. This paralyzed man perhaps had no faith working for him at all. There is no record of it in Scripture. Now, Jesus responds to faith. And there are many times in Scripture where he would meet somebody's need and say to them, your faith has made you well, according to your faith. But in this case, there is no biblical reference that the paralyzed man had any faith working at all. But the four men that carried him had great faith. Jesus, when he saw their faith, he didn't immediately heal the man. He did something else first. He said, your sins are forgiven. Now, that was something above and beyond what any of them were expecting. Even these four men with great faith who brought the paralyzed man and had such passion for the healing of their friend who was paralyzed, they climbed on the roof. Can you imagine any of you four men? I'll pick out four of you men. And then a fifth one, to lay on a cot. It would break a sweat for four men to get on the top of a house and tear a hole in the roof big enough to lower a paralyzed man from the roof down into the house on a cot. And Jesus saw their faith, not the parallel, but their faith. I tell you, there are times in your life when you will exercise your own faith to get your needs met, but then there may be times in your life when your faith is depleted and you will be grateful for friends and prayer partners who are strong in their faith on your behalf. It's the power of the prayer of agreement. And this is what I like. These four men with their faith were expecting one thing. They were expecting Jesus to heal the paralyzed man. But the first thing Jesus did was do something greater than what they expected. Sometimes God will show up when you're in trouble and he will do more than you expect, and you may not even know he can. You may not even be praying for it or believing. That was the case even with these four men. They had faith. They had faith, but their faith was for their friend to be healed from his paralysis. And the first thing out of Jesus' mouth is, when he saw their faith, he pronounced forgiveness of sin over the man. Imagine this man. Now, he got way more than he was expecting. I mean, if it was up to him, he would have never made it to where Jesus was. But other people who loved him had such great faith and compassion for him, they carried him to where Jesus was. And even they, with their great faith, it was so great, the Bible says Jesus saw their faith. But even they had to be shocked when the first words out of Jesus' mouth was not, "You're healed," but something by far greater. Healing for the physical body is a wonderful thing, and it can be miraculous, and we all know that's so possible, but it's still temporary. It will not make you immortal. Hezekiah was on his deathbed, and God gave him 15 more years, but he still was mortal, and he died later. But forgiveness of sin is eternal. When we receive that gift, we never die, but we have everlasting life. So Jesus went above and beyond by far much more than these four men were expecting. And then after Jesus pronounced, first of all, your sins are forgiven, they didn't see that coming. Has God ever blessed you in such a way you didn't see it coming? And then he said, now stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And in Mark chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, and the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. And they were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. The Gospel of Luke records this very same miracle in chapter 5. And it's worded this way in Luke. The people said, we have seen strange things today. And that word strange in the Greek, what they were really saying is, we have seen extraordinary things contrary to our expectation. Now that's when God can show up and deliver more than you expect. Oh, we've seen some strange things here today, the people said. Extraordinary things that were contrary to anything we expected God to do. My, my. Sometimes God is so good, and he favors us so much that he pours out a blessing of such great favor, such fast and furious favor on our lives, that it leaves us stunned more than we asked for, more than we ever expected. God is capable of doing that. Now, we'll revisit a couple of points and move forward quickly. Sometimes it is our faith that God notices and meets our need. Sometimes it's someone else's faith. But then, sometimes, God plays the sovereignty card, and there is no record of anybody asking for it or praying for it or even believing or imagining it could possibly ever happen. Sometimes God just simply does what he pleases, to remind us that God specializes in exceeding our expectations. Now, that's what the favor of God can do in its accelerated form. The favor of God, when it's accelerated on our lives, and thank him for it, overrules, overrides, and supersedes what our faith is capable of believing for, because God specializes in exceeding our expectations. A biblical example in Acts chapter 3, very familiar story. It was a miracle. A man was born lame, and he was 40 years old. And every day of his life, he would be brought to the door of the temple, the gate of the temple, and he would sit outside the temple gate begging for alms, begging for somebody who would pass by going into the temple to worship to drop a coin into his cup, perhaps, or whatever he had. That was how he made his living, by begging. He was a professional beggar, and legitimately a beggar, because he could not even stand up and walk. He was born that way and had lived that way for 40 years. Imagine, after 40 years of being in a certain environment or a certain condition, after 40 years you become so familiar with it, it's normal to you, and you reach a place where you never expect life will ever change. Maybe some of you are like that today. You've been stuck where you are for so long, the thought that life could ever get better, you've not had that thought in quite some time. But one day, while this lame man was sitting there begging for a coin for his cup, Peter and John walked by. The Bible said they were on the way inside the temple. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was time for a prayer meeting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The King James Version says the ninth hour of the day. It was 3 p.m. and a prayer meeting going on in the temple. Peter and John walked by. And listen, this lame man was expecting a coin. I'm sure when he saw Peter and John, and I guess he had seen them come in and out of the temple many times, he probably knew who they were. They were the disciples of the Lord. I'm sure they were popular, at least regionally or locally, there at that temple. This lame man had seen Peter and John many times, probably walk in and out of the temple. And so he perked up when he saw them again, and he probably started rattling. He was a beggar, and he was expecting one thing. His faith was limited to a low level. Oh, I'm believing they're going to drop a coin in my cup. And Peter spoke up and said, "We don't have any silver or gold on us, but we've got what you need. You're asking for one thing. You're expecting for one little thing. Your faith is focused on one little thing that may help you survive today, but you got to come back and beg for more tomorrow if you're going to eat tomorrow. You're asking for one thing. You're expecting something so little, and we don't have it. We don't have what you're expecting and what you're asking for, but we do have what you need." And they said to him, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the Bible says he ran into the temple, jumping and leaping. And the Bible says all the people knew it was the man who had been born lame. And the Bible says they were all filled with wonder and amazement. That's when God plays the sovereignty card. That man did not see that one coming. He probably got up that morning, woke up, and whoever picked him up and carried him to the temple and laid him down there in front of the door of the temple, He was expecting it to be another day just like every other day for 40 years had been. I hope to get enough coins in my cup today that I'll be able to eat a good meal and go to bed again tonight and get up tomorrow morning and do the same thing over again. He was caught in a pattern and a cycle of just barely enough from one day to the next, and he had no idea when he was brought to the temple that day that he would never have to be carried by anybody else again. He wasn't even believing for it. He had not prayed for it. God, just in his sovereignty, decided, I'm going to favor that man today above and beyond his wildest dreams. I imagine that lame man for 40 years had sat there and probably had said to himself, I never dreamed I could walk. I never dreamed I could walk. Now, sometimes God will come through for you because of your faith, and you've had a dream and you're full of faith, and God will respond and respect that faith and meet you where your faith is. Sometimes when you don't have enough, he'll even bless you because of other people's faith that are praying for you and are compassionate toward you. And then sometimes God just goes above and beyond and does more than you ever expect. He plays the sovereignty card. And just like this man probably would say, I never dreamed I could walk. God has some I never dreamed blessings in your future. Because God specializes in exceeding our expectations. That was the case with the Walmart miracle. For those of you who may be visiting today for the first time and don't know the history of our church, we, for many years, were on House Springs Road, and we were happy to stay there. Our plan was to stay. Our dream was to stay there. We even had an artist draw a rendering of a new building. We wanted to build a 500-seat auditorium over there on those 4 acres and just stay there until the Lord comes. But our bishop spoke a word of wisdom to us, and we heard it and began acting on it. And long story short, we found 21 acres of land right down here on Irby Street. And our plan was to finance that property and pay for the dirt for 5 years. Just pay for the property for 5 years and then begin dreaming about a building. We expected to pay for dirt for 5 years and then draw plans for a building. And 3 months after, we began expecting something small. Walmart called us and said, we want that property to build a super center. And our first response is, well, you know, we're going to build a church there after 5 years. We're expecting one of these days to build a new church on that property. And then Walmart made an offer. And for a few years after that, we became known as the Walmart Church here in Florence, because Walmart so blessed this church, it got us from House Springs Road, 4 acres on a secondary road, to the main street here in Florence on Irby, right here where we are now. And God did more for us than we could have ever expected him to do. I'll have to say, we did not pray for it. We did not fast for it. We did not raise money for it. We did not even think about it. If you had come up to me and said, prophetically, hey, thus saith the Lord, Walmart's going to offer you a bunch of money for that property, and it's going to expedite your church. You're going to be able to start building now right down the street instead of paying for dirt. You're expecting way too little from God. He's going to do more than you expect, and he's going to do it now. I wouldn't have believed it. It was not my faith. It was not my faith, probably not yours either, but I can't speak for you. I'm just saying I didn't see any faith working on the level that God wanted to bless our church. Sometimes God just goes above and beyond what we could even expect or pray for or ask or think or even imagine. In our wildest dreams, we can never imagine how much God wants to override our expectations. It's His favor, and we are grateful. I remember about 10 years ago, I said, all right, if I promote another church this morning, Ryan. About 10 years ago, I spent 3 or 4 hours with Pastor Bill Monroe, our neighboring church right down the street here. Hey, you could probably walk there, but you don't need to right now. In his kindness, he invited me to his office to spend some time with him there and then to go out to lunch with him. And so it was just the two of us for 3 or 4 hours. And it was one of those days in my life that when it was over, I looked back immediately, and still to this day, when I recall the time I spent with Pastor Bill Monroe, pastor of the great Florence Baptist Temple, I'm still aware that I was in the presence of greatness when I was with that man. Let me tell you, there is one of America's great churches. Well, here's one right here. But right down the street, Florence Baptist Temple, one of America's great churches. And I love that man and appreciate all that he has done. Well, when I was with him, I asked him. It was just the two of us, and I said, Pastor Monroe, do you mind if I ask you some questions while we're together? And he said, Carl, you can ask me anything you want. And I asked him, I said, 40 years ago when you started the Baptist Temple, did you have any idea God was going to bless this church like He has? And he said, oh, no, he said, no. Humbly, he said, no. I mean, you just can't plan some of the things God wants to do on the level that He wants to do it. And if you don't like our church, that's a great one right down there. But now, I believe God has you right where He's pleased that you be. The Bible says it pleases the Lord to set His members in the body just as He pleases. So I'm not saying you need to go down there, but I am saying we pray for that church and all churches, not just ourselves. I don't know of any bad churches, but no, he said, I had no idea God was going to bless this church at the level that He has blessed this church. I can say the same thing here and probably every other church, or many, if not most of them, can say that, because sometimes God just does what He pleases, and it's above and beyond what anybody can believe Him for. Quickly, Psalm 115 and verse 3, but our God is in heaven, and He does whatever He pleases. Sometimes He moves in a higher way then we can even ask Him to move, because it's just what He pleases to do. Psalm 135 and verse 5 says, for I know the Lord is great, our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. There have been times that God has poured out a blessing in my life when I didn't see it coming. I had not prayed for it. Sometimes I didn't even have time to pray for it. But it's just because of His goodness. He is so good all the time. Never a day should go by when any of His children blink long enough to forget that His goodness rests on His people always. God is good all the time. And sometimes he moves in our life to spare us, to protect us, to deliver us, to rescue us, to heal us, to increase us, to promote us, not because we have prayed for it or even have faith to believe him for it, but it's at such a higher level, and he does it just because he pleases to do it. I'll say something I've not said in many years right now. I'd like for my wife to come to the piano. If you've been here for many years, you know it's been many years since a lot of years. Don't be nervous about that now. One final scripture just before the prayer team comes, and I'm excited about that because some of the best things ever happen here happen after our service is over, and you, if you have needs in your life, you come, and not only then is it just the strength of your faith, but it's their faith too, praying for your needs to be met. So in just 3 minutes, you'll have opportunity to do that. But in Ephesians 3:20, a closing verse of scripture, you know it well. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The New Living Translation says, God is able to accomplish infinitely more. Infinitely more than we can ask or think. God is able to do more than you expect, more than you can even think to pray about. There have been times I have been in danger, and so have you. And I love the Message translation in the Psalms, where David refers to the goodness of God in rescuing him. And the Message translation says, when David was in trouble, he said, God grabbed me by the back of my neck and snatched me out of danger just in the nick of time. Sometimes you'll need God to deliver you and you don't even have time to pray and you have no faith to believe. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. God is able to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. That's the fast and the furious favor of God resting on the lives of his people. Aren't you grateful to have favor on your life?